The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be on your guard, stay awake, because you never know the time when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He has gone from home and left his servants in charge, each with his own task. But he has told the doorkeeper to stay awake. So stay awake, because you do not know when the master of the house is coming, evening, midnight, cockcrow, dawn. If he comes unexpectedly, he must not find you asleep. So what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." The Gospel of the Lord. I wonder if when we get to this time of year, you start saying quietly to yourself, "I'll be glad when Christmas is over." Because for some, the relentless build-up that happens, and of course for some of the shops and outlets, it begins in August, with its pressure to spend and spend and to spend more. The country seems to go into a kind of buying frenzy. There's the presents to get, of course there is, and then of course, even with the recession on, we'll spend, I'm sure, plenty. But it's the food, the fridges and the larders and the freezers overflowing as if we're in for a siege. Everything, the mad rush, everything got to be done by the 25th. So in a way, it's no wonder that you can sometimes think, "I'll be glad when it's over," or also risk losing the true meaning of what Christmas is all about, because it's drowned out by the noise of activity, commercialism, and panic. It's a good question to think how many of the nation's children, or people for that matter, really know what it is that we celebrate at Christmas. It's all to do with the question of belief. Do we really believe in God and believe in a God who acts? And Advent comes to give us just that little bit of space, just the time of 1 month. And this year we're given a whole month of Advent because Christmas falls on a Sunday. We get 4 clear weeks of Advent to reflect on that very issue: God, his part in our life. And some of the themes to reflect on during Advent are always excitement, longing, waiting, hoping, praying. Our children, of course, always excited. Already last night at the 6 o'clock, they could tell me how many days. Because I said, "It's not 25, because it's not the 1st of December yet." No, they knew exactly. And I said, "And light the big candle first." And of course, they went to light the white one, because that was the only one. And he said, "But that the other one's not the biggest. You know what little ones are like at 6. They've seen exactly which it is." So they know. There's that excitement. But if you're those that feel like we're glad when it's over, I think the excitement has probably lost its fizz. But excitement because something is happening. That's what I said at the beginning. When we go into purple, I never get saddened or depressed by it, because it's always a positive and moving on in some way. There's that excitement. Something's to happen. And the excitement is about God and his action within our lives. Isaiah reminding us in that first reading, that's why we get it today. "You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, your ancient name. We are the clay, you the potter. We're all the work of your hand." And the people of Isaiah's time that he was writing to were a people in exile, a people that had been carted off from their own country in Israel, Palestine, the Holy Land, off to Babylon, Mesopotamia, it used to be, Iraq it is today, in captivity, with the enormous pressures that come from exile. And the last decades have seen a lot of migrants moving around all the world, people fleeing, sometimes from conflicts. You think of all that Arab Spring that's turning into the Arab Winter, but all people moving around, all the wars that are going on, also bringing migrant people on the move all the time, but with enormous problems, and bringing problems too. But as we get to the end of Mass, Delia's going to take a couple of minutes just to talk to us about the food bank. How in all our cities now, and it may take some of you back to rationing on shortages after the war, with longer memories, you may remember the Jarrow marches and the march for food in the 30s. So many pressures around, but also in life, we find that in the midst of many pressures, and so God at work. And one of the, when you're in great pressure, you want it now. And that's an Advent word also. Now is the time. Now this is the day of salvation. But linked with that now in Advent is always another word, which is waiting. We spend a lot of time in life waiting. Our children often are waiting, as it were, when they're old enough to get going to school. And then they get to year six and they're almost ready, as we all know, to move on into the next phase, into secondary school. And then they get to year 11 and they're ready to move on to college. And then uni, and then of course it's work or it's marriage or it's whatever. And many times, but then as life goes by, it's the doctors and the consultants' waiting rooms that we're often in there, isn't it? Things like that. But Scripture also has something to say about waiting, an important aspect of life, because we all have to wait for God's time to act. And God will act when God will act. And remember, 1,000 years are like a watch in the night to God. But of course, that's a hard lesson in an innocent society. What do we want? We want this. When do we want it? We want it now. Everything we want instantly. So waiting is linked with that now as an Advent theme. It comes in all the readings today as well. St. Paul writing to those Corinthians where there was that expectation that Christ's coming was imminent. It was going to happen the next week, next year, very, very near. And yet it didn't. And just as we often do when we're waiting, as you know what it's like with children, we get bored, we get fed up. We get irritable, all those sort of things. And that was happening to the Corinthians. It happens to us. So it happened to the people in exile. That's what Isaiah was writing to them, to encourage them, because they too were sort of suffering under all that and getting fed up. And is this God really at work? Does he care for us anymore? Many of the themes there. And of course, waiting, dominating the gospel. I know it says stay awake at least 4 times, but that's because you're waiting. And while you're waiting, you might just be nodding off. That's what the Lord's saying. And so within that waiting, the Scriptures are offering hope, because you're not waiting, as it were, in vain. We're waiting for something, for God to happen. Therefore, with hope, and that's another Advent theme, great hope that comes, because God will intervene. God will act in his own good time. I always remember one particular parishioner I had in a former parish. She was a good soul. She'd had a hard life, and she was put down so often by so many people. And she also worked in the stock rooms of Woolworths. And so she knew well that in July, you're planning Christmas. She certainly was among those saying, I'll be glad when it's all over. But when events were pressing in on her, and sometimes she just put the news on and found it just so gloomy, she said, oh, come on, Gabriel, blow your trumpet and end it all for us. Well, he has now for her, because she's gone to her eternal reward. But in a way, her sentiments are those of that little phrase in that first reading, oh, that you would tear the heavens open and come down. But that's the point. He did. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And that's the Christ we look forward to celebrate his birth again at Christmas. It's the Christ that comes to us in every Mass. It's the Christ, too, that will come at the end of time. And what he says to us is, in that time of waiting, stay awake.